Fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Loving puts us on our knees, serving as though we were slaves. That is the way we would live with you. Jesus, Jesus. Fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you.
In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. A few verses from the epistle lesson that Pastor Ale read from Romans 7. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin, through the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. And again, this verse, 12. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. It's good to see everyone this morning. Last weekend I was gone to Texas for the baptism of one of our grandsons, and what a joy it was to celebrate that great event of being connected to Jesus. And what a time for us to think about that connection in a world that's roiling with so many problems. To Jesus, who at his birth, the angel said, this is the one who brings peace on earth. To Jesus, who calmed the raging seas in Galilee. To Jesus, who after his resurrection said to his disciples, peace be to you. We're enjoying and again renewing that connection to Christ this morning as we come together to worship and to hear his word. Now this sermon is going to be a pair with next Sunday's sermon also, both from Romans 7. They're both about this teaching of the Bible we call the law. And this one particularly has to do with the importance of the law. And next Sunday, we'll talk a little more about the limitations of the law. The Romans, in particular, were very interested in the concept of the law. The law comes in many forms. There are civil laws and all sorts of kinds of laws, and then there's God's ultimate and divine law. The Romans built their entire empire on that sense of justice and law. They wanted to avoid crazy dictators on the one hand and mob rule on the other. Paul himself was quite involved and knew somewhat the laws of the Roman Empire. And so he stood before magistrates and judges and he argued cases. He especially appealed to his own citizenship and the rights that he had to preach the gospel wherever he could. Sometimes he won his cases and went free. At other times he lost and went to jail. Paul understood, and he used the civil law of Rome for God's calling of him to preach the divine law of God, the highest of laws, and the gospel, to set people free from the shackles of sin, not just to deliver us from crazy dictators or from mobs, but to save us especially from ourselves and from our sinful condition. I put a little note out on Facebook, yesterday, because in this message, I wanted to continue this little thing I've been doing since we started these drive-in services to have a little bit of a children's message. We have a number of healthcare workers in our congregation, so I asked if somebody would loan me a stethoscope. And so thankfully, two people dropped these by yesterday, and I want to use this for the children as a way to understand the importance of God's law. God's law comes to us in a number of different ways in the Bible. One of the most important would be the Ten Commandments. Do you remember the Ten Commandments? Remember, I'm talking to the children, but I'm also talking to mom and dad too. Remember those commandments? You shall have no other gods. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or manservant or maidservant, an ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. That's one great example of the law, the divine law, the rules for living that God has given to us. But the law comes in other ways too. Jesus talked about the law in just two laws: love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Paul, later in this same letter that he wrote to the Romans, said the whole law of God, the divine law, the ultimate law of life, can all be boiled down to just one word: love. Romans 13, verse 10, Paul said, love is the fulfilling of the law. So how is the law like a stethoscope? Well, I know that little children probably recognize these things because one of the earliest experiences they have in life is to go to the doctor for a checkup. And the doctor has to explain what they're doing when they put this on their chest. A stethoscope allows the doctors to listen, or the nurses, to listen to your heart, to listen to your lungs, and to see if there's anything wrong, to see if everything's okay inside of you. It's a great tool that people have come up with, and that's why you'll almost always see a doctor or a nurse with one of these hanging around their neck or hanging out of their pocket. It's always within quick reach because it's so important in order to figure out whether someone needs some medicine or not. Well, the law of God is like that. It detects problems, not just in our bodies, but in our souls, in our spirits. It identifies our sins for us so that we can then get the medicine of God's works, of God's love, of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Well, let's go on then and think more, though, about the importance of the law. Why would Paul make such a deal about this? Why does he say the law is good? The law is just and holy. Well, Paul knew that people would misunderstand his words. You heard Paul say that we have died to the law, that we've been released from the law. He says that right there in Romans chapter 7, but also in many other places as well. And some people have always misunderstood that and come to the conclusion that the law is not really that important at all. That's a big mistake. The law is good, just like the stethoscope is good, but it doesn't save you. A stethoscope has never saved anyone. It just identifies the problems if they are there. And so it is with God's law. When Paul says we are delivered from the law, when we've died to the law, when we've been released from the law, what he means is there's something else that has saved us, and that something else is the gospel. And that's why Paul urges us, and Jesus does as well, to listen carefully to the law and let it do its work. The purpose of the law is to show us that sin, as Paul says, is exceedingly, exceedingly sinful. But you know that's not the way human beings normally look at life. We always tend to downgrade our sins. We always tend to block the condemnation of the law against us. We have all sorts of clever tricks and deceptions that we make up ourselves or that Satan talks us into. We think we can balance our bad parts of our life with our good parts. We think sometimes that we can overcome these problems by just striving to be a better. In fact, we think that if as long as we want to be a better person, that's all that God cares about. But that's not what God cares about only. He cares about holiness. He cares about perfection. He doesn't want us to get caught up in finger-pointing and all kinds of other things that happen when the only goal of life is simply to live by the law. The tragedy of the rising ugly head of racism in our culture today, something I mentioned 2 weeks ago in my sermon, is also a problem of not appreciating the importance of the law. We'll begin a Bible study about that next Sunday, and I encourage you to pay attention to that and as we dig more deeply into it, but as a brief introduction to that Bible study, we could say this, that when we don't realize the importance of the law, we will create other laws, and we will begin to judge people by other standards rather than God's standards. We will prejudge people. We will think that if they speak another language, if they have a different skin color, if they dress a little bit different than we are, we immediately begin to size them up. And as I said 2 weeks ago, it could be because of hatred, but it also could be because we're just using the wrong stethoscope. We're using some sort of man-made ideas about what's right and wrong, and we're not listening carefully to God's truth. the only truth that really determines what is good and what is evil. And it applies equally to all individuals, and above all, it applies to us first and foremost. And so just having that appreciation of the law and the law's application equally to all people is very important in the discussions and the debates about racism. I want to also bring up something that came up in the message 2 weeks ago as well. And it's interesting how it pops up in this passage as well from Romans chapter 7. I had a member of the church contact me. This person was very distressed about what's going on and what we see in the media. This person's particular concern was that on their social media associations with all their friends, they're actually losing friends. There's all sorts of anger and frustration and things being said and wounds, deep wounds being created. And they asked me, what can I do about all of this? I'm just sick of it. Well, I said, again, as we talked about this 2 weeks ago, we must always be careful about being tempted and drawn into that vortex of hatred. But we also need to pay close attention to God's law and always apply that first to ourselves, to ask, have I mistreated anyone? Have I ignored anyone who has been mistreated? Have I in any way misjudged somebody according to some other standard rather than God's standard? And if that's the case, then I must repent. But I also recognize that Jesus died for those sins. He died for those sins that are mine, he died for those sins that are yours, and he died for those sins that are everybody else's in the world around us. But Paul says something very interesting when he tells us that we have died to the law and we have been married to Christ, he says. And listen carefully to what he says in Romans chapter 7, verse 4. To him who was raised from the dead, we were married, that we should bear fruit to God. The Christian response to evil is always very simple and basic. It is repent of our own sins. It is believe in Jesus' forgiveness for ourselves and for everybody else. And it is also showing the love of God to all who are around us. It is doing good. And so I told this person who was upset about this, I said, you know, maybe one of the best things you could do is just back away from some of those arguments and maybe even turn off that computer or that phone or whatever it is and go out and do something. Do something good for yourself, for your family, for your neighbor. Get off the couch. Make the phone call. Pray for the person that needs to be prayed for. Help the person that needs your help. Live that life of Christ alive in your hearts. And as you live in faith in Christ, you are bringing Jesus Christ, that peacemaker, into the world around us. I announced last night in the message that this Wednesday, I think it's time. We haven't done this in quite a while, but I think it's time for us to gather together for some extra time of prayer. So Wednesday, starting with our midweek service at 6:15, we're going to continue, whoever wants to, with me, for the next 6 hours until midnight. Every hour will begin with some scriptures and some singing, but prayers guided by me, but especially the prayers that you say from your own heart will be important. There are many important and good things that we need to be doing in a world full of bad things, but I believe that all good things begin usually with prayer. Jesus did this when he felt the stress and the afflictions of the world. The apostles all did this at those same times in their lives as well. So I urge you to be part of that. I urge you to do what Paul has said, focus on Christ, be married to him in faith, and therefore then begin to bear the good fruit to God, not the fruit of the passions of the flesh that only bring about death. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise and continue with our prayers.